studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, trusting everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and about the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, and web addresses. So please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio. And I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in the dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. Let's start out with announcements. First of all, from conservationists, American Lands, Rainforest Action Network, and Free the Planet are launching a campaign to convince universities to cancel paper procurement contracts with Boise Cascade and other timber corporations that are selling paper from endangered forests. Boise Cascade is the largest distributor of paper to universities and is the largest logger of public lands in the United States. They plan to build the world's largest chip mill in the rare temperate rainforest of Chile. Now students are joining forces to kick these lawless lockers off campus and asking universities instead to use 100% recycled or tree-free paper. The tree-free campus packet is available online, www.rand.org/rand_campaigns/old_growth/campus/index.html. Anyway, go to www.rand.org and get on down into their old growth campaigns and you'll find it. Consumers want no part of irresponsible forest management, especially when better alternatives exist. You can join the Tree Free Campus listserv to communicate with others working on this campaign. Send an email to treefreecampus-subscribe@topica.com. That's treefreecampus-subscribe@topica.com. And if you'd like more information, contact Ann at American Lands, 775-786-1658. That's 775-786-1658. Or you can send email to annem@americanlands.org. That's annem@americanlands.org. The Wilderness Society has announced the launch of a web-based campaign to raise awareness and garner support from the Americans worldwide to protect the unique wilderness of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and deliver those opinions directly and immediately to President Clinton. The goal of the cyber campaign is to convince the president to designate the treasured wildland as a national monument before he leaves office and thereby protect it from oil drilling. The Arctic Refuge is the sacred homeland of the Native American Gwich'in people and habitat for polar bears, caribou, and millions of migratory birds. The fact that drilling in the Arctic Refuge has once again been inserted into the debate on America's energy policy underlines the urgent need for President Clinton to better protect this crown jewel of American wilderness from development. The Arctic website makes it easy for concerned citizens to learn about the issue, take action, and get involved. For more facts about drilling for oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, visit www.wilderness.org/arctic/index.htm. That's www.wilderness.org/arctic/index.htm. And the U.S. Forest Service is seeking public comments in response to their proposal to continue cattle grazing on public lands along the South Fork of the Kern Wild and Scenic River and within the Golden Trout Wilderness. The agency is trying to determine appropriate levels of grazing that will be allowed in the so-called Templeton and Whitney grazing allotments southwest of Mount Whitney in the Inyo National Forest. This area of the southern Sierra Nevada has been heavily overgrazed for more than 150 years. Continued grazing has denuded riparian habitats from the banks of the South Kern Wild and Scenic River and made the river wider and more shallow. According to the Forest Service's own assessment, past and current grazing has also damaged 80% of the Kern Plateau with gully erosion, reduced habitat for the California golden trout, a sensitive species, and our state fish. The mountain yellow-legged frog, a sensitive species proposed for federal protection, and the willow flycatcher, also a state-listed endangered species. Degraded water quality by contributing to high sediment loads, increasing water temperatures, and elevating levels of bacteria and nutrients, and increased conflicts with recreational visitors, damaged trails, degraded scenic quality, and adversely affected the overall wilderness experience. What can you do? Here's the address. Write a letter today to Lucy McKee, Mount Whitney District Ranger, Inyo National Forest, P.O. Box 8, Lone Pine, California, 93545. That address again, Lucy McKee, M-C-K-E-E, Mount Whitney District Ranger, Inyo National Forest, P.O. Box 8, Lone Pine, California, 93545. Please urge Ms. McKee to adopt Alternative A, the no-grazing alternative. This is the only alternative that guarantees protection for the South Fork Kern Wild and Scenic River, outstanding values, and complies with the Wilderness Act, the Clean Water Act, and the Endangered Species Act. If you have hiked, backpacked, or fished in this area, be sure to include your personal views on impacts that grazing may have had on your wilderness experience. The deadline to receive public comments is November 1st, so please write that letter today. For more information, please contact Steve at 916-442-3155, extension 221. That's 916-442-3155, extension 221, or send email to sevans, S-E-V-A-N-S, at friendsoftheriver.org. And here's an emergency action alert from the Cove Mallard Coalition. The Nez Perce National Forest announced that logging will start in the Otter Wing timber sale this week. The Cove Mallard Coalition will organize a week of resistance, starting with a demonstration in Region 1 at 12 noon on November 9th, followed by a carpool to the timber sales. Once again, that demonstration is at the Region 1 headquarters. That's in Grangeville, Idaho, I believe, at noon on November 9th, and then there'll be a carpool to the timber sales. Shear Lumber Products has given notice to start logging on Otter Wing timber sale this week. This bad news comes on top of the already dire situation on the Mackey Day sale, where logging has been ongoing since mid-September. The sale areas contain some of the most beautiful and excellent old-growth habitat left in central Idaho and are home to lynx, wolves, moose, elk, deer, mountain lions, bears, eagles, mountain goats, pileated woodpeckers, and numerous other critters that are about to have their homes wiped out. The Cove Mallard Coalition will be organizing a week of resistance, kicked off with a demonstration at Region 1 National Forest Service headquarters in Missoula, Montana. There it is, noon on November 9th. After the demonstration, we will carpool to the site on the South Fork of the Clearwater. Food and direct action goodies will be available for use and fun. Please make plans now to attend this important series of events and make sure to leave the whole weekend free. Once again, that's noon at the Region 1 National Forest Service headquarters in Missoula, Montana, on November 9th. If you'd like more information, contact the Cove Mallard Coalition. Their number, 208-882-9755. That's 208-882-9755. Or you can email them at cove@moscow.com. Get there as soon as you can. They need help, and they can always use donations of funds, climbing rope, socks, rain gear, coffee, and food. Send any and all contributions to Cove Mallard Coalition, P.O. Box 8968, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Once again, that's Cove Mallard Coalition, P.O. Box 8968, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Here's an update from the Buffalo Field Campaign. The last few weeks, the Buffalo Field Campaign has already had to start their winter patrols. This is the earliest in the history of the Buffalo Field Campaign that they have had to start patrolling. There are about 20 buffalo that are outside Yellowstone National Park boundaries or just within the borders which suggests a harsh winter is on its way. The Montana Department of Livestock is already hazing and harassing the buffalo with cracker guns. These are shotgun shells with M80s in them. There are no cattle in the area and absolutely no reason why the Department of Livestock should be hazing and stressing the buffalo at this time of year. It is known that hazing, capture, and confinement places additional stress on bison, separates members of the herd, and breaks social bonds. What can you do? Call the Montana Department of Livestock and tell them to stop stressing out the buffalo at the beginning of winter with this, all this unnecessary hazing. That number is 406-444-2023. That's 406-444-2023 or 406-449-2095. Once again, that's 406-449-2095. If you'd like more information, you can contact the Buffalo Field Campaign, formerly Buffalo Nations, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758, or give them a call at 406-646-0070. That's 406-646-0070. And, of course, buffalo@wildrockies.org is their email address, and you can always visit their website, wildrockies.org/buffalo. Let's move on to action news. In the early morning hours of October 1st, Animal Liberation Front activists descended upon Titmus Duck Farms on Barnes Road in Moriches, Long Island, I believe that's New York. Compassionate individuals raided the premises and rescued 19 ducks. The other remaining ducks were then given opportunities for escape when the ALF cut the surrounding fences. The ALF also left their signature behind to assure farm owners that this ever-growing movement of nonviolent direct action has now taken notice of Titmus' murder of sentient beings for profit. The ALF is everywhere and will not stop until all life is free from oppression and murder. And to the activists who have risked their freedom for this selfless act of compassion, our hearts are always with you, and keep up the good work. Here is the communique from the ALF. Greetings, comrades. In the early morning hours of October 21st, members of the Animal Liberation Front raided Titmus Duck Farm on Barnes Road in Moriches, Long Island. During the raid, 19 ducks were liberated and given a second chance at life. It's a pity we couldn't have taken more, but we gave the remaining ducks the slim chance of escape by cutting the fences and ripping out the posts, keeping them in. The farm was spray-painted all over with various slogans to let the owners know that we will not tolerate the continued murder of these living animals until all animals are free. Animal Liberation Front. And moving to Finland, the Finnish Animal Liberation Front received the following communique. This raid is the world's largest henna raid ever. In case you don't know what a henna raid is, this is where they take a vegetable dye and they render the pelts of fur animals unsaleable by dyeing the fur. And in this case, 500 foxes were dyed. Here's the communique. We visited a fox farm near Iisalmi sometime between the 20th and the 22nd of October. There were 11 sheds, and they were full of animals. There were also cages outside. Many of the cages contained up to 5 to 6 animals, which is a violation of animal welfare regulations. Many animals had bite marks on their backs, probably caused by other foxes, and some of the foxes were in really bad condition. The farm was looked after poorly, and the cages were dirty. The animals had no water, and there were no shelves in the cages, which is a violation of animal welfare regulations. In some of the cages, there were dead foxes left together with the other animals. We dyed 8 sheds of foxes with natural and harmless henna. An estimated 1,500 animals were dyed. We removed all the breeding cards. We took some video footage for evidence, which shows examples. One of the foxes that was found dead and the number of foxes in some cages that was too large. We demand animal welfare officials back the farm because of the animal welfare violation. Brought to you by www.animalliberation.net. Check that one out. And from Mexico City, environmentalists and human rights workers chained themselves to the doors of the Mexican Attorney General's office demanding the release of 2 ecological activists jailed on drug charges. Accusing the judicial authorities of torture, the protesters who wore gags said the prison terms of Rodolfo Montiel, winner of the top global ecological award, and Teodoro Cabrera were a trumped-up measure to prevent them from protecting the environment. Quote, this is a protest against the PGR, that's the Attorney General's Office of Mexico, and the authorities for having allowed so many violations of the human rights in the sentencing of these two ecologists, according to lawyer Jorge Fernandez of the Miguel Agustin Pro-Human Rights Center. Montiel awarded the $125,000 Goldman Environmental Prize for trying to protect the forests of the southern state of Guerrero, and Cabrera were jailed for up to 10 years for growing marijuana and illegal possession of weapons. The activist has asked for the intervention of President-elect Vicente Fox, who was elected in July and takes office on December 1st. Fernandez, taking part in the protest, said Montiel and Cabrera were tortured and forced to pose before cameras with weapons that did not belong to them. Greenpeace Mexico director Alejandro Calvillo, another protester, said their case was a threat to all environmental activists in the Latin American nation. And four members of the Itchituckney River Earth First were arrested last Sunday evening after a nonviolent protest in the driveway of a cement plant. The four had locked themselves into a trailer with bicycle locks. One of the four was locked down to a block of cement through a hole in the floor of the trailer. The charges were of trespassing and resisting arrest without violence. More than a dozen people had joined in the protest on Sunday. They opposed the building of a cement plant by a subsidiary of Anderson Columbia Incorporated. They believe it will pollute the Itchituckney River. The Department of Environmental Protection initially denied the permit for the cement plant about 3.5 miles from the pristine Itchituckney River, citing concerns about Anderson Columbia's poor environmental records in the past. But the agency later worked out a $23 million deal to buy and shut down a Columbia County rock mine, which officials said was a bigger threat to the river, and take over a sensitive 21-acre site in Santa Rosa County in exchange for letting the plant operate. And Yosemite National Park, government officials held a ribbon-cutting ceremony recently to celebrate the conclusion of the El Portal Road widening project, complete with tram tours and specially invited guests. But environmentalists and Yosemite lovers turned out for a protest vigil, calling the celebration of the illegal project shameless and inappropriate. Environmental advocates have contested new development in Yosemite through protests and legal action since 1997. They argue that the current planning would expand development, harm Yosemite's environment, and create a more expensive park, discriminating against families and visitors of average means. If you want more background and court rulings, go to www.yosemitevalley.org. That's www.yosemitevalley, all one word, .org. Or you could contact Friends of Yosemite Valley at 209-379-9337. That's 209-379-9337. And relentless forest activists floated a giant Boise Cascade T-Rex balloon over downtown Boise, Idaho last week, donning a massive sign on its chest that announced, "I love old-growth logging." The 120-foot inflatable balloon at 13th and Front Streets towered over Boise Cascade's headquarters and circled the heart of downtown Boise beginning at 8:30 in the morning. Boise Cascade is the dinosaur of the logging industry, explained Michael Brune, Old Growth Campaign Director for Rainforest Action Network. However, the age of predatory logging is over. If Boise Cascade does not adapt to the emerging values of the new economy, it will not be able to survive in the modern marketplace. And more Boise Cascade news. This September, the Umpqua National Forest accidentally allowed Boise Cascade to clear-cut about 12 acres of old-growth forest in the streamside protection buffers of the Pine Strip timber sale in the Umpqua National Forest of Oregon, a sale closely associated with the Snog timber sale now being protested by tree sitters. Other streamside buffers could also have been cut, though at this time the Forest Service is only admitting to the one discovered by Umpqua Watersheds, a local Forest Watch group. John Oymet, Diamond Lake District Ranger, said this morning it was a mistake, just a lack of communication between the timber people and fisheries. There's nothing we can do about it now. This isn't the first time the district has been caught clear-cutting or trying to clear-cut riparian reserves. In fact, it's the third time in recent history in just the Fish Creek watershed. Besides Pine Strip, other violations were discovered in nearby Snog and Watchdog timber sales. And on the heels of the Diamond Lake Ranger District, Umpqua National Forest in Oregon admitting they accidentally cut the riparian reserves of the Pine Strip timber sale, new information has shown They are finding even more errors in Snog, a sister sail to Pine Strip in the same watershed and linked by a 1995 lawsuit we lost due to the salvaged logging rider. Tree sitters are currently holding off logging in two units of Snog, 11 and 2. The purchaser has even told the Forest Service they want out of their contract due to falling timber prices twice before, once in 1995 and once in 1999. Federal fisheries biologists have claimed that clear-cutting Snog would violate the Northwest Forest Plan. Now another biologist has stepped forward. On September 13th, Richard Golden, fisheries biologist for the Diamond Lake Ranger District of the Umpqua National Forest in Oregon, wrote to his superiors, quote, "Clearly, the regeneration harvest units in the Dog Prairie Creek portion of the Snog sale are inconsistent with the Fish Creek watershed analysis, as was the Dog Prairie demo sale that immediately preceded it. It is my understanding that, for different reasons, both of these sales are legal. However, the Rough Creek and Fish Creek stream channels are indifferent to legal issues, and we are in fact continuing to degrade conditions in these watersheds. This is a direct contradiction to most of the aquatic conservation strategy objectives listed on page B11 of the Northwest Forest Plan, ROD. Therefore, based on the Dog Prairie Creek units, it would not be possible to find the Snog timber sale consistent with the aquatic conservation strategy and thus with the Northwest Forest Plan. Consideration of these facts puts me at odds with the apparent forest position that cancellation of the Snog units of the Dog Prairie Creek and or reinitiating National Environmental Protection Act are not justified or worth consideration. The reason that I am bringing up these issues is merely to point out that if I personally am questioned on these issues, that my responses, which I believe are accurate and appropriate, would not be consistent with the apparent forest position." Unquote. In light of this information, coming right after the Forest Service admitted they mistakenly cut the riparian reserves of Pine Strip in the same watershed, clearly means the Service should modify the Snog timber sale to drop all the uncut units. If you want to give some folks a call, try the Region 6 Director of Natural Resources, Ron Escano, his number 503-808-2955. That's 503-808-2955, or Don Ostby, the Umpqua National Forest Supervisor. Don's number is 541-672-6601. That's 541-672-6601. Tell them to stop Snog now. And in our probably the best news of the day, we read the request for comments on the Golden Trout Wilderness comments earlier, but here's some news. To the Golden Trout of the Sierra Nevada, this bud's for you. Facing pressure from environmentalists, Anheuser-Busch suspended grazing on fragile Sierra Nevada meadows that threaten the habitat of the state fish. The controversy with the world's largest beer maker has been brewing for years in the Golden Trout Wilderness of the Inyo National Forest, about 200 miles north of Los Angeles, California. More than a century of grazing sheep and cattle high in the rugged mountains has trampled meadows, killed vegetation, and muddied water where the fish, prized for its brilliant colors and said to sparkle like a $20 gold piece, once thrived. "The fish are rare in one extreme. They spawn in degraded habitat," said Brett Metzke, public lands director for California Trout in Fresno. "Now almost the entire river is spawning habitat, so they're starving to death." 2 weeks ago, Trout Unlimited, a conservation organization, filed a federal petition to list the troubled trout as an endangered species, citing grazing as one of the hazards to its health. And earlier this summer, a number of environmental groups in California Trout and the Sierra Club threatened to boycott Anheuser-Busch products unless it removed its herd from the last natural habitat of the golden trout. The company, which makes Budweiser beer, said it was not those threats that drove its herd from the hills, quote, "We've had people threaten to boycott us because we support the Humane Society, because the Humane Society opposes cockfighting," says Anheuser-Busch spokesman Charles Poole. "We thought it was the right thing for us to do at the time." I don't understand why he would make that comment, but anyway, St. Louis-based Anheuser-Busch has been in the cattle business in the Owens Valley since 1986, It bought the Cabin Bar Ranch in Olancha to lock up valuable groundwater rights in case it needs water for its Van Nuys brewery. The company also benefited from the century-old ranching operation, cashing in on valuable permits to graze cattle on the U.S. Forest Service land. In the summer, the ranch drives 900 cows and their calves onto 100,000 acres in the mountains between 8 and 11,000 feet. and they pay $4,700 a year for the permits. The government pays the bill of mending fences and other upkeep. Anyway, I'm going to take a little break here and listen to a little song. This one's by Daryl Cherney and Peg Millett, and it's called Goodbye to Vic.
We were going to sing it for him.
But he left.
He left.
Yeah.
Right after we wrote it, in front of him.
Yeah.
See, we knew that.
Did we get the vibe?
No, no, we knew if he can hear it coming, he ran away. There's a guy at our camp, and his mind is real bent. So the folks at Earth First had to pick up his tent. On this here issue, no more time will be spent. Cause on this here party, he's putting a dent. It's time for eviction. No more contradiction. Time to end this addiction. No more dereliction. We won't fall for his trick. Say goodbye to Vic. Now old Vic says that he isn't going. And I have to admit, he's putting up a good showing. But the rendezvous folks, they are all knowing the direction in which old Vic will be flowing. It's time for eviction. No more contradiction. Time to end this addiction. No more dereliction. With a nonviolent kick. Say goodbye to Vic. Now old Vic wants to do is talk about violence. No matter how much we plead, he won't go for silence. He wants to see the clouds and change the weather. I think changing his campsite would be a lot better. It's time for eviction. No more contradiction.
We've got to end this addiction.
The nonviolent kick. Say goodbye to Vic. Now old Vic, he ain't leaving. He says he ain't ready. He wants the committee to call out the Freddies. Now the whole rendezvous has got him surrounded. But old Vic is so thick, he ain't even confounded. It's time for eviction. No more contradiction. Time to end this addiction. End this dereliction. With a nonviolent kick. Say goodbye to Vic. Say goodbye to Vic. Say goodbye to Vic.
And Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.